You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on this edition. This is Saturday's edition of the podcast. A busy day of racing coming up tomorrow. And the feature card, of course, comes from Sandown, where the Grade 1 Celebration Chase is the big race that brings the curtain down on the jump season. Got the Bet365 Gold Cup, of course, one of the more bigger betting races of the day. That's all to come at Sandown. They're supported in the afternoon by the likes of Ripon, Leicester and Haydock. Evening cards come from Doncaster and Wolverhampton. And it's also the final day of the Punchestown Festival across the Irish Sea as well, with Grade 1 racing to come on that card in the shape of the Mayor's Champion Hurdle and the four-year-old hurdle. So a really busy day of racing. Hope you can join us for it all. James Millman is joined by Andrew Mount and Paddy Aspel. John Babb is the man joining me in the studio ahead of Saturday's racing. John, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Very good.
Good.
A little bit wet. I wasn't quite expecting that little dose of rain that we've had.
Yeah, we've just had a brief deluge, haven't
we? Yeah, we have, yeah.
Not long ago. But fortunately, the rain has generally stayed away over the last couple of weeks. How have the first few weeks of the turf season been treating you, John?
There's no point moaning about it. Everybody knows that it's a sort of stop-start sort of thing with April after the Lincoln, and that's how it is. The disappointing thing probably is the fact that we've really not had any decent grounds, pretty much all been soft ground, slow ground all the while, and you're just starting to think you're going to get it. Then this week hasn't been the greatest week in terms of flat racing, because there's probably been more focus on some of the jump racing, particularly in Ireland. A bit of a slow week until tomorrow, and there's plenty of meetings tomorrow, and lo and behold, after this little dry spell, it's chucking it down everywhere, and ground is going to heavy at Salisbury, it's soft at Wetherby, soft at Leicester tomorrow, so we're going to get an awful lot of soft ground, Doncaster as well, again over the weekend, which is a little bit unfortunate. And then next week, with the jump boys obviously having a week's holiday, we've got wall-to-wall flat racing next week. So for me, it really does get underway next week with the guineas at the end of the week. But there's been some interesting performances. Obviously, Newbury was a decent meeting last week, and obviously the Craven meeting midweek threw up a fair few nice performers. I mean, if people want to make a note, I thought the best two-year-old race I've seen so far was probably the one at Newbury on Friday, first race, the race won by Dave Dexter, the Rafe Beckett horse. I made a big impression. I know it's good to soft ground, soft in plate, blah, 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 and whether he's going to be able to do it in June on fastish ground at Ascot, but he does look a proper Ascot type, real strong, went through the line really well and looked a horse of plenty of potential. On the same card, you'd have probably been looking at the filly of John Gosden's La-Ti-Dar. She looks group class straight away, you know, straight from a maiden filly. She'll be straight into a group race, I would think. Probably the Moosey Dora, I would think, would stand out on the card straight away as the next place to go for her.
Same way that Sermindar went in the same ownership.
The following day, I mean, a great comeback as a four-year-old start for Defoe, who looks one to really keep on side in middle distance and perhaps even sort of stay in events as the season unfolds. That was a terrific performance on over mile four in the John Porter. And just one little one from up north. Sometimes the northern cards can be a bit of a slow to go until it gets to the Dante in the middle of May. But I have to say, I was quite taken by the team. Used to be a two-year-old that won at Thirsk, the first race on the Saturday card, I think it was, won by 9 lengths. Did a very good last 3 furlongs for a young horse making his debut. A horse called Vintage Brute, running for the Lovely Bubbly partnership. It went off 25-1. Quite how that happened, I don't know, because how they wouldn't know that horse had got a fair bit of speed before he went to the races, I don't know. He did beat a 6-4 on favourite that had experience and was I thought it said 9 lengths. It was actually 7 lengths, but I think it looked like at least 10 lengths to me visually. So that was an impressive performance. Massar was another one in the Craven. I did back the horse straight after it went over the line to win the guineas, because I I didn't think there was going to be too much depth to the race, obviously, behind Gustav Klint. Can't see too many real... But I was quite taken with that performance, and it was a track performance as well at Newmarket. So I think he could be a worthy contender come next Saturday.
Very interesting.
So, that runs you through a few.
Yes.
Just to start the flat season off. There's a few more if I went through my notebook.
But, yeah.
But those are the more high-profile
yes.
ones.
Good stuff. In terms of your own string, John, great to see Dugan back in the winner's enclosure the other day, winning at Bath.
Yeah, very much so. Obviously, what is he now, 6 years old, and that was his first win on turf. Long time coming.
Blimey. He's run so many good races on turf. At some point that he'd gone in, blimey.
Yeah, good placings, a place like Newmarket and Doncaster in the past, but never won on turf until that day. Very kind of the handicapper just to drop him a pound after his second at Wolverhampton so he could get in the Bath race off 87 in a 0-85. And just went to show how good that man Sylvester D'Souza is. I thought it was an absolutely awesome ride. So, and he's on Bahamian Dollar for us tomorrow at Leicester, so hopefully he can repeat the dose.
Yeah, good stuff. Any more raiding trips to France in the pipeline, John?
No, I probably won't. Well, won't be probably till at least the back end. It'll probably be more a winter thing that will, I think.
Right, so, yeah. Okay. Before we move on to some of Saturday's racing, has Punchestan been on your radar at all, John? Have you caught any of the action there?
I mean,
Fourheen yesterday,
yeah,
obviously.
Absolutely. Yeah,
whether you're a jumps fan or not, it's great to see champions come back.
Yeah, it was great to hear the cheer in the office. It was like, I don't know whether everybody in the office at the back, we were in here, but the almighty roar when it went on was incredible in here. It was like, I don't know whether everybody backed it or everybody just loves Fourheen, but it was good to hear.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's move on and take a look at some of Saturday's racing. Got a couple of races picked out for us. John, take it away.
Where should we start? First one in time wise would be Haydock 205, and the horse we're going to look at there is number 2 MJ Jack, who won at the Craven meeting under the same jockey Clifford Lee, who knows the horse well. He's won on the horse previously, and Carberg's horse has got a tremendous record at Haydock Park, and really and truthfully this horse is a lot better on soft ground. The ground will be softer tomorrow at Haydock than it was even at Newmarket last week. He's drawn in stall one, the second race of the meeting. The first race is only a small field. First meeting of the year on the flat course, so we're not going to be dealing with any cut-up, chewed-up ground on that inside. So he should be able to hold a good position round the rail. Prominent race, a front-runner's track. Soft ground absolutely brought up his street. The track he's running plenty of times before. MJ Jack's going to take plenty of beating tomorrow, and from here I would see him moving into listed and group 3 company on soft ground if this rain continues to hold. I wouldn't be surprised if he holds his own in a listed race somewhere during the spring.
Craig Forsyth has been waxing lyrical about that Newmarket race as well as form to sort of strongly follow. I think it did take a little bit of a knock maybe yesterday, but
no, the second horse won yesterday.
Right, okay.
So Dreams won at Chelmsford
a boost yesterday. And I know a lot of the time boys, men much superior knowledge to me, are very very keen on that race.
Well, obviously I'm looking at the third in Calder Prince, who beat Dugan at Wolverhampton. It was visually impressive on the eye, but I know Dugan's come out once since, but bafflingly, the time was only okay, really, for a horse of its grade on the day. And he's now changing to soft ground at Haydock. He has run well at the track before. In fact, he's a course and distance winner here. But he's now up from 87 up to 99 for that win at Wolverhampton. And he's going to have to find a fair bit more, I think, even than that impressive Wolverhampton win to beat MJ Jack off only receiving, £6? So it'd definitely be MJ Jack for me.
MJ Jack in that 205 at Haydock. Where do you go for your second selection, then?
Just got to wait another 50 minutes and nip over into Yorkshire to Ripon for the 2:55, the 6 furlong handicap there. I mean, I'd be slightly concerned on draw. That's the only thing that worries me with this, because often when we get this rain here and soft ground at Ripon, it often pays to go with the low numbers. But I just think that the field size of 14, if there's a couple of non-runners in this race, which is a fair possibility if there's heavy rain, the field size might not be big enough to lend itself to getting over to the far side. Generally, you're looking for nearer to 20 runners really to be going over there. And the horse I like is number 3, Piper's Note, for Ruth Carr. Again, another horse with terrific track form, such as MJ Jack at Haydock. Piper's Note's got terrific track form over the years at this Ripon track. And he made a very encouraging debut that actually surprised me. I wasn't really expecting such a good run on the all-weather. He's never been really an all-weather horse. Obviously, the stables he's run for in the past, including Ruth Carr, haven't really been all-weather type stables. And it seemed like it was a blow the cobwebs away type run. He ran a good second to the Marco Botti horse, Raven's Lady, who got terrific Kempton form, and that was really her, Raven's Lady's track. But Pope has now did some real good work, like staying on, and look at one that was almost really ready to win. It's drawn in stall 11 here. Main contenders are going to be like Mobster, who's drawn in stall 10, but bang next door. So I'm hoping that the better horses are basically on the stand side. And I do think it's probably a day when you want to be on either side, high or low. And I'll take my chances that the high numbers will prevail in a 14-runner or less field. If we were looking on the low numbers there, one danger that would stand out would be Flying Pursuit, who often benefits from racing away and getting loose on a far rail like he did at York last year. But there is a fair chance that Flying Pursuit's going to need this seasonal reappearance as I say, a race to blow away the cobwebs. So it's Piper's Note number 3 for Ruth Carr and Jimmy Sullivan.
I was going
to call him Jack for a second. I was thinking Jack.
Piper's now the choice, then, in that 2.55 race at Riffin, goes with MJ Jack in the earlier contest that Hayduck potentially two to follow on at Saturday's action. You can tune into Racing Radio and hear all of the racing live from 20 past one in the company of James Moorman, Paddy Aspel and Andrew Mount. John, pleasure as always. Thanks for that, and enjoy it on Saturday.
Cheers.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.